Let's give this a try. And we're live. Off-road garage podcast. With a Jeep. Driving down I-75. On our way back from Jeep Jamboree 2020, Drummond Island. Jim, what's your thoughts, buddy?
It was a great event, man. It was really, really well run. It was very well organized. And they stuck the timeline really well. So they tried to make sure we had a great time. And they did a great job with the staff there. It was excellent. Very knowledgeable guys. Guys and girls. I apologize.
Well, I agree. It was a very awesome event. Trails were great. Yeah, I agree with all those things.
The only hope I really have is our snow. It is what it is. Can't control that. So I saw a video from last year. They were pushing 4 inches of snow, bumper height, getting after it for hours. It was pretty low-key this year overall.
Yeah, the conditions were a little warmer than I had expected. The snow was a little stickier.
It was like
that we're used to.
Like 44 degrees on Saturday.
Yeah.
So that was a little different. Made for some cool images on it, with the fog in the background. It was pretty cool to enjoy. Especially on Trail Ridge, which was the park there.
Yeah.
We were in the lower part.
That was really good.
It felt like I was in some Pacific Northwest Bigfoot hunter.
Yeah. Definitely chasing Sasquatch up there.
For sure. Now, let's talk about, there's a great selection of rigs there. I mean, I saw one ton TJs, and I saw all the way down to a stock Liberty out there, so everybody had a great time.
Yeah, they really make it, you're right, everyone has a good time that goes.
Yeah, it sounds like there was some sort of restriction about tire size and equipment that should have been there. Somehow Liberty got in, minus that restriction, but they still made sure that driver had a great time. I talked to the driver briefly, because we were in different groups all weekend. The driver of that vehicle, so they were having a ride, and everybody took really good care of him, and he had a great time. It sounded a little ugly at the end.
Yeah, it sounded like that Liberty was not enjoying the weekend as much as the driver was.
So they got so hot with the transmission that they shut the car off.
Yeah. All in all, I had a really good time.
I met
a lot of great people.
For sure, and they were all super cool. We were like at the bank, but you sat with different people every day, right? Every meal was catered there.
Yeah.
Except for like Friday night, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
The Friday night, that wasn't catered?
No, we still had...
Thursday night, we got up Thursday night, and it wasn't catered.
Yes, Friday night was set, Saturday night was set, so yeah, it was just Thursday night.
But when you got there, it was like a big banquet hall. You could sit by whoever, talk to whoever, but it was super cool. Got a lot of recognition for the podcast, it was amazing.
Yeah, kind of still getting used to that. Like, hey, you guys, the podcast guy. Oh, yeah.
We are.
Yeah, that's awesome.
We got to prove our mettle one day on the trail as the garage part of the podcast, right?
Yeah, we did a NASCAR-style tire change on the trail.
I believe it was 38 Super, one of our followers who listens to us.
Yeah.
Front of the JKU, the 33s, I believe, and he popped a bead and bent a rim, and we were able to get it back on the trail pretty quickly.
Not only get it back on the trail, but later that night,
help them fix the rim.
Bang that rim back out.
You got to show some guys some high lift tricks. Sean CJ on Instagram.
Yeah.
Came out with those lift bags. We were able to use power tanks to lift them up a little bit, and then threw the high lift down with the chain to the axle and the frames. The one thing dripping the axle, lifted the truck up, got it all changed out. Everybody came together. It was great.
Yeah, I thought it went really well.
I've learned, like, in some of my events I've been to, a little bit of adversity makes the event. And everybody comes together as a whole, as a group. They usually come together pretty well to help with adversity.
Yeah, everyone always jumps out of the rig and runs over to hell. It's awesome. Lend a hand, or at least learn. Like, a lot of people just stand back and watch what we were doing because they've never seen it done before like that.
Well, I heard a couple people say that I've never used a high lift before. I never knew what they were for. And it came in super handy with the depth of the snow because where it wasn't packed, the regular jack was just sinking. The bottle jack was just sinking.
Yeah.
So I have the, I carry a high lift in the back, 48 incher, and I carry the high lift base. It's like a 12 by 12 ABS plastic base for the high lift that I didn't get enough, I guess, purchase to not sink. Super helpful.
That helped out a lot. See, I definitely the high lift would have just gone all the way down.
Yeah.
Because by the time we jacked it up, I mean, we were almost to the last four or five holes on the top of that jack. We didn't have much more lift to go.
Right.
So we're kind of running out of space. That definitely was a benefit there.
I got to use the chain extension for the high lifts. I never used that before.
Oh, for the bumper grab?
Yep.
Yeah, that worked really well too. Because for those angled bumpers that you had on that JK, just there's no way the high lift was going to grab that. And that worked out really well. Good things to have. Even though it's like maybe your vehicle doesn't need it, it doesn't mean that you won't need it for another vehicle. So.
And like for that, it's small enough, it just loses my recovery bag.
Yeah.
So I always have it, no matter if I need it or somebody else needs it.
And I mean, there's several ways that could come in handy. It's not only just for grabbing a bumper. I mean, you can get really creative, I think, with small adapters and pieces like that that just make make that tool that much more useful.
Still scary. I mean, it's still dangerous to it.
There's nothing ever, and it's always unsettling using it just because of the whole nature of the beast, but if used properly, it's not too bad. You know, as long as you take all the proper precautions, you know.
Here's a word of wise, I guess, a tip for the friendly. Boil your high lifts.
Yes.
Mine lives under the back seat of the JK. It's been there for like 2 years. And the pins are sticking, you're going back down.
Yeah.
It's got a little bit of area, kind of pound on the pins with a hammer while you're holding the high lift handle.
Yeah, that was probably the only downside of that. Otherwise, everything else went pretty smooth.
I think so overall. I mean, I didn't get to use my new winch or my new Factor 55 thimble or.
That's because your Jeep just pulled through like a champ.
It did very well. I was very happy with it. You know, everything that I've got so far, you know, Rancho Arms, the Fox Shocks, the BMG tires, everything worked out really well. I think the lockers were crucial. The Yukon.
Yes.
Got the zip locker in the front, so people turn it off to make tight turns. I did have a little problem with that. Not wanting to engage all the time, which we got to go look at. It might be something I did wrong with plumbing.
Yeah, if you had a small air leak or something.
You could be.
Get a compression run.
But when it locked, it was go time for sure.
Yeah, it definitely went well. So. The food and everything like that for the whole trip was really good too. Because they take a breakfast, back lunch on our first day.
Yep.
Because it rotates. Some groups do a hot lunch, some groups do a back lunch. So we had a back lunch, which was awesome. A really nice, you know, really good sandwich. Chips.
That was from Lawson's, I believe, in Drummond Island, right?
Okay, I think so, yeah.
The sandwich was, my sub was like half a pound of meat. It felt like
it was
perfect. Yeah. That was kind of cool. They made that fire for us. We had like a little campfire, yeah. Told cheap stories, ate sandwiches.
Yeah, so, you know, we weren't standing around, which is really genius if you think about it, because it really brings everyone together. So if you just did a back lunch, you know, somebody would be sitting in their Jeeps to stay warm,
yep.
Someone would be at their tailgate. But when you start a fire up, everyone, you know, congregates to that fire to stay warm, gets that Jeep conversation going. That was pretty good on their part.
And then, for anybody listening that does have kids that wants to get into it, it was super family friendly. With some kids there, they're having a great time, and like it's kind of cool because as our group stayed together for both days of wheeling, and that's how they do it at the Jambos. So the cool thing was, as the group grew together, like the kids became like the village's kids.
Yeah.
So we were all talking to the kids, having snowball fights with the kids. Little dude with the snowshoes that kept falling down, everybody helped pick them back up.
Right.
Let them run their way. Yeah. If anybody's ever seen Christmas Story, picture Ralphie in that snowsuit with snowshoes on.
He's rolling around, you're like, can't get off.
And when he went off trail, the Jeep we were in at wasn't back down. He fell down on his face, and his arms couldn't reach the dirt to put himself back up.
So, total face plant.
Total face plant, arms in the snow.
Oh, man.
Yeah, he needed to be picked up, repositioned, and sent back on his way. What was your favorite part of the trip so far, you think?
And I just, no, it was all really good. I like the trails.
Yeah.
Because I've done Drummond in the summer, and I like the trails during the summer. And I was curious how they were going to be. And, they definitely added a different factor to it. Like I said, I was a little sad we didn't have that much more snow, and the snow was kind of sticky for what it was.
Right.
It wasn't the massive challenge that I thought it was going to be.
Right.
But I think we covered a lot of ground. We covered a lot of trails because we did state and then we did the park. So, yeah, I mean, just the trail riding and seeing everyone different, you know, wheel and. The whole event was just great. It really was.
It was. And the fact that it has such a draw, we had what? Maryland? We had Scooter from Maryland.
Scooter, Maryland, out of Ohio,
New Jersey.
I mean, people from all over that were, I mean, like I said, New Jersey. So they've been to a couple of them, I think, right?
They've been to Colorado, North Dakota, and now this one.
Great. So they're traveling all over. That says something for an event like that, where someone's willing to drive days, basically, to get somewhere just to be at that event.
The first time I was talking, they said they actually drove their lift at JKU on 35s to Colorado to wheel it.
Yeah.
And then drove it home. They trailered this time.
Yeah, that's dedication.
Yeah, for sure. They're good people. They were actually really impressed. Hester, the female driver there, had a stick shift.
Yeah.
And she was doing a really good job taking direction if she was getting hung up. She drove really well.
Technical icy hill climbs in a stick shift. That would, you know, that challenges the top. And yeah, she did very well. She hung in there for us as well.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. I like seeing the different types of rigs and everybody kind of come together. So, yeah, on the Saturday run, we had, I mean, myself and Sean, our pretty well built, you know, do a lot. JK's at 37, Sean's long arm with a supercharger.
Yeah.
We had the guy Vader, and I never really even got his build sheet, but his trunk was beautiful. And then we had Dory, which was a lifted XJ at like 31.
XJ.
Open.
Yeah.
But the driver,
Laura, just dominated.
Very competent driver, very good job driving. And she was actually saying, you don't need lockers. And I'm like, well, that's different, but I mean, right. You know, she did a very well, very good job without lockers, and was able to hit everybody. Eric, the guy behind us, goes by 38 Super, I believe, on Instagram. Open. He did a very good job piloting it. He learned a lot about his rig, what he needs, what he wants to get. And everybody was, like, they were able to come up with the bigger build rigs, just in our group. I think Sean and I were two of the bigger rigs.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
The trail leader, Russell, also had a very nice build. Rubicon, JKU Rubicon,
yep.
With a really crawler adapter in it, adapters, so I guess like a 401.
Yeah, he's got a lot of different gear options there, which is kind of nice.
And I think he's got a 60 rear, 44 front, it's a pretty well built rig. Of course, he's a trail leader, he can break the trail. But then Ozzy, our tail gunner, was in a TJ Unlimited, it's an LJ, 35s with the lockers and the 30 front, and he did a very good job
too. You can tell he feels that thing hard too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he had no problems getting the beans to get up hills. So, I mean, I thoroughly enjoyed the event. This is my first actual event as a participant. I've run events and stuff like that before.
So that's drastically different for you, for being a participant, the go-to guy.
So I actually pulled some people aside, and I was like, hey, man, I know how difficult this could be. And the cool thing for me was, if I'm not having fun, it's not my fault, it's your fault.
Right.
And they started laughing because they get it, you know. And it was a great, really well-run event. They stuck well to the time frame. I got plenty of information in the mail or the emails prior to the events. I knew what to expect. The only thing that we couldn't really predict was how the snow was going to be.
Yeah. Like I said, it was really odd. It's the first time I've had, like, sticky snow.
Well, I mean, it was...
Normally, the ice is over. It becomes more of a challenge or packs. You know what I mean? It's just...
Well, so, I think Friday we had some challenges with the snow heating up and melting on some hill climbs on the state trails. And then Saturday we had that wintry mix in the morning, that snow, and 40-degree, 44-degree weather that was just getting the snow really... It was great snowball snow.
Oh, absolutely.
Which kind of gives you an idea how well your tires are picking it up and slinging it.
Well, yeah, because Friday, the tires were more or less just leaving it on the ground, leaving an absolute perfect tire, like, tread imprint.
Yep.
But, yeah, yesterday it was just slinging it. Definitely different how the conditions changed. It made for really good, for obstacle watching as all these rigs, like, worked their way through. So it's like mud, ice, logs, rock. It was really good. I like the terrain on Drummond Island. I always have.
The only place we actually had issues with photos was like when we were lower Turtle Ridge, because we were in the middle of the pack, and getting to the front in a trench of water to get photos was a little bit
difficult. Really glad I had the high boots on.
Yeah, for sure. We got some great content though, I think. Some great photos, great videos. When I get home, I actually had to take time to edit it, and you know.
Yeah,
man, I think it was great. I mean,
yeah, I think pretty much everything we've talked about, you'd be able to see on all our social media and YouTube. I think we had a video out on YouTube now as well. So those of you listening been asking about going on YouTube, we're there. We're starting. We got one video posted already, so check it out. More to come.
A little mashup right of the weekend on there right now.
Absolutely. And we have more GoPro video and photos to go through, edit, cut, kind of paste together for you guys. You'll have something to check out to see what we were talking about.
Yeah.
Get a glimpse of everything.
I had a great time meeting people. MG Tree on there was there. He's a great dude. Of course, hanging out with BJ and Jeep Life.
Yes,
always
Rancho was there.
Rancho
our friends at Rancho, and they were awesome and super friendly as always.
Yeah. Bob Ross Off Road.
Yeah,
Mike was there. It was a great event. Well done. You said there's a couple things that I would like to have maybe an organized night run. But there's also the Drummond Island is an island, so you're restricted to the amount of trails that you have because it's an island. You can't just drive to the next town,
right?
You know, and having there's what 40 or 50 rigs there.
40, I think. Well, something like the number which worked out great. It's like four groups of 10, which I thought was a really good number
for sure.
10 is an excellent number for a group being working through the woods and obstacles like that.
Any more than 10 can be very tedious, and like even for us, like, I talked to some people at the banquet on Saturday night, that I didn't get to talk to on the trail because we were in the middle of the pack. And by the time we got to the obstacle, they were already driving away.
Yeah.
So, any more than 10, you don't even talk to anybody.
Right. Well, then you use your, like, the subgroups, you know, and then people start dividing even more.
Yep.
you said, there's enough room around a campfire for 10.
Yeah, sure.
So that worked out well.
We handed out a bunch of stickers, so thanks to Fresh Ghost Off Road.
Yeah, Fresh Ghost and stickers.
He actually rushed that for me, and we picked them up on the way up here.
Yes.
Because I was worried about running out of them, so they came out really good. People seemed to dig them. They liked all the little hidden detail you put in it.
Yeah.
Which is pretty great.
It is super awesome, man.
So, yeah, I mean, I think overall, man.
I think it was an all-around good trip.
For sure. Knowing now there's, a couple things like the Jeep, change a couple things around just to better it in some areas. I want to put the sliders on it so I can keep them off the trees a little better. You know, I'm used to driving the TJ. So now I'm driving basically a school bus, it feels like, compared to the TJ.
You did take a little body damage. I feel bad. Sad for it.
It's all good. Part of the game.
Yeah.
But I think if I had rock sliders, I might have been in a better position to pivot on them. So I'll be in the market.
You going
to
purchase some, or you think you're going to purchase some?
Oh, yeah. I might be in the market to purchase them. So there's, this is an 11.
Yeah.
It's been its whole life in Michigan. So I'm starting to get some rust down around the rockers.
Okay.
So the backwoods engineering you make says just sand it, rhino line the bottoms, and then put the covers over the bottom part.
Yeah.
That way I can at least keep it protected.
But on the other side.
Yeah. But if I can get some ruby rails off of Rubicon, then we can just fab up some new bumps, steps to it to keep me off the rocks, that might work out too.
Yeah.
I'll do some research and see what's out there and see what I like.
For sure.
One of the things that held me off so long was I wanted the new fenders too. So if you go get X rocker guards, you don't work with Y fenders, you got like the whole package.
Yeah, get that whole look to look just right.
But then, as you know, buying them all at once, you're talking $2,000.
Right.
Which
that's a hefty chunk to take on at once.
It'll take all the research. I really enjoyed myself. I had a great time.
Yeah, same.
Mike Olmstead, who's also the president of Great Lakes 4-Wheel Drive, was a big part of. Runs some very good shit.
Very supportive of that, for sure.
Yeah.
Keeping our trails open.
And he puts on a great event. He has great people he's picked for this event. I mean, I'm not sure if I can say enough good things about it. I did have a pretty candid talk with Mike about maybe not running all the trails, because they pre-run everything. And I was kind of hoping for a little more of a challenge on some of the stuff as far as the deeper snow. They were talking, they had to cut a bunch of trees down. I got a chainsaw in the back. I got gas. So I was hoping for a little bit more chaos, I guess. But as we talked about in the very beginning of this episode, they've got to make it good for everybody.
Yes.
And so some people who pay, it's a significant cost to come up here.
It's worth the money.
For sure.
Because you get a lot involved with that money.
For sure.
Like, that much just to do the XYZ. It's like, no, there's a lot more to it.
Right.
And you calculate in 3 meals a day, 2 days, and then everything else.
Right.
You get a trail guide to walk you through everything. Anything, they're there to help you.
And I've been wheeling for about 20 years. So I've done a lot alone. I consider myself pretty competent off-road.
Yeah.
But it's nice to always have a second set of opinions from another person wheeling for a long time. They see things different. They're outside the rig. They can see what's going on.
Right.
But I think if you're a new wheeler and you're getting new into the game, something like this, where you've got people like us, you and myself and Sean, with 20 years of experience, on the trail with you, you can see how we attack it. Plus, you've got a trail guide. So if you want to listen to Joe Schmo on the trail, you've got a guy in a red vest, telling you, hey, this is a great line, this is a bad line. Yeah. Try this, try that. Are you locked? Are you aired down? A lot of people are new to the game and don't realize how much stuff's involved with and how important aired down is. And then you're going to lose a beat because they're at 8 instead of 10 or 15.
Right. They only get down, there's some of them get down to slow teens, mid-teens. And now that you can go a little lower than that and still be safe. I think you were a good example of that. People were 8 in the rear.
10 to front, 8 in the rear.
8 in the rear. That was no issues at all.
I usually keep 10 in the front doing the motorway, and I figure I'll push down a little bit for me. Sean ran 8 in all 4 corners.
Sean's got beadlocks.
He's got beadlocks.
That's not fair. Can't use Sean as an example.
Yeah, but it's
awesome.
Yeah, it's actually very well thought out. One of my favorite JKUs, because it's attainable.
It's very well done. Very well built. Very thought out.
So, there's not much. I don't think it's anything bad. In fact, I want to go play in the deep snow. And that's kind of a me problem, not a them problem. You know what I'm saying?
Right. I think, because you're maybe definitely a little more on the advanced scale of the participants.
Right. Right. So, other than that, I talked to Mike. I was like, hey, dude, next year, why don't you call us on Wednesday and we'll come break the trail and I'll go home.
But you got exactly. We'll tell you, don't go down that one.
Yep.
We didn't make it.
I can't think of anything bad to say about it.
But next year can be completely different weather conditions.
Next year can be 3 feet or next year can be nothing. Because
Right, or it could be nothing day one, and then it snows 3 feet overnight.
Yep.
So you never know.
That's, I think one of the really cool things to me, too, was like, I talked about earlier how it's family-related, family-oriented.
Yes, it's a very good family event. I would recommend it.
One of the trail guides was a mother and a father who was leading one trail, and their daughter was on the trail as well as a Jeep Jamboree staffer.
Yeah.
So you can't really say it's not family-oriented if the entire family is wheeling it there.
Yeah, absolutely. When they're all doing it together. Just makes it that much.
It's great. So if you're unsure, if you have a kid that you don't know if they're gonna like it, there was kids there to play with. Maybe my recommendation might be bring a sled. So when you get hung up and there's a hill, you guys can go far.
If you're doing a winter event for sure, just a little downtime. You know, when you're on the side of the trail, gets people to start crazy.
And if you're not into the winter, they do a Drummond Island Jamboree as well in the summertime in June.
Yeah,
Father's Day weekend ish, I believe.
Yeah, it's one of those events if you do kind of new to Jeeps, kind of still a little uncomfortable going out and doing things, but you want to get your family involved or just you want to get involved, I think it's a great event for that.
I think so too. I would agree with that.
Getting into it, you learn a lot, meet a lot of people, and it's just definitely a really good way to get into off-roading family.
Right, for sure.
Well, I guess because we're cruising along down the road, so if that's why it sounds really horrible, apologize, but I think we'll wrap it up there.
I think so.
All right.
I think the one last thing I got to say is my Midland radio that I got.
Yes, thank you to Midland for that radio. That was awesome. And
worked out really well. I've got actually really good range. The antenna's only, what, you can see right there, 6 inches long. I got great reception all weekend. It's a GMRS micro-mobile, and I was super happy with it.
It worked out really well.
Way less finicky than CBs are.
And the optional USB charging port out of the front worked out well for GoPro batteries.
It did.
Again, that was another benefit, the added USB charging. So, but yeah, thanks to them, and thanks to everyone, and we will, until next time.
Talk to you soon.